And good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. A very important person here this morning, Chief of the Colorado Springs Fire Department, Ted Colas, is here. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning, Renee. Glad to be here.
It's so good to see you.
Yeah, it's always fun to come over to KRDO.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, and we have lots to talk about. And you and I were talking before we got on the show, and of course, 4th of July. Mm-hmm. Fireworks is always a big concern, and in this city, fireworks are not legal at all, period.
They are not. Now, you wouldn't have noticed that if you were in Colorado Springs on this 4th of July. There were a lot of fireworks going off all over town. I think our residents were a little complacent because of the moisture that we've been having, that they took advantage of that.
Right.
And I think also we didn't get a lot of calls for service. That's good news, right?
Right.
So the fireworks weren't causing fires because of the moisture. And I think that our neighbors out there were a little bit more tolerant because there was so much moisture. But the fact remains that fireworks are illegal in Colorado Springs. They're not only a fire hazard, they're a danger to youngsters, to adults.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
We saw just a few years ago where an NFL football player lost some fingers.
Yes.
Because of a fireworks incident. They're nothing to be played with, and they're not toys. They're definitely some danger involved with them.
Well, I think there was even an incident here in the Springs area with a gentleman trying to protect some kids from a firework, and his hand got badly injured.
Yes, I heard about that.
I mean, it's scary.
Yeah, it is scary. And so the reminder to all of our residents out there is that fireworks do remain illegal in Colorado Springs. You can be cited for them. They can be confiscated from you. But the good news is we had several residents that came to our local fire stations and turned in illegal fireworks. And so that we were able to take possession of those, they'll be destroyed in a proper manner.
Right.
And that's good news. We still have those responsible residents out there that are paying attention to the laws and doing the right thing.
Well, and I know, and it's hard because some of the fireworks stands, you know, mm-hmm. they're kind of, some parts of the county are nestled in the city, so it kind of makes it more challenging when those fireworks stands go up too for officials like the fire department and being like, wait, those aren't legal here.
That's very true. And people, we get those questions a lot. You know, if they're illegal, why are you selling them on this corner or that corner?
That's and those county.
They're county enclaves that are surrounded by the city or three-sided surrounded by the city. And they look like they're part of the city of Colorado Springs. But rest assured, there's no fireworks sales in the city of Colorado Springs.
Now, this is a kind of like a joint task force, if you will. That sounds so official, but it really is. For fireworks enforcement between CSFD and CSPD, right?
Yes, we put together what we call Baker cars, the police
Baker
department.
Cars. Okay.
That's their terminology for two people in a vehicle. So the Baker cars are made up of one of our fire inspectors and a police officer, and they patrol the neighborhoods. And when they get calls for service, they go to those particular neighborhoods. And, you know, with the CSPD and our folks, we try not to take a heavy-handed approach with any of our citizens. We want them to do the right thing, and if mm-hmm. we can encourage them to do the right thing, then that's really the best for everybody.
And so you were saying, on that night, on 4th of July, do we know of any like fireworks being confiscated? Because it sounds like no summons were written, but do we know if anything was confiscated? Or
I know that they were that people were encouraged to stop. I would assume that there was confiscations, but I didn't get that information specifically.
Right.
We did have several of our fire stations, though, where people willingly came by and turned in fireworks. And
good.
It's great to see kids involved with that.
When
parents bring their kids along to say, we're doing the right thing, and I'm going to model that in front of my children.
And do you think, Chief, there's some confusion when you say fireworks, like, okay, when we were kids, the sparkler, you know what I'm thinking, like, and those little snake ones, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Are those considered illegal?
They really are. Okay. In Colorado Springs, just everything is illegal. And that's due to our arid environment. You know, we talked a little bit as we started this segment about the moisture that we've had this year in Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who was here for a year, though, or longer, remembers how arid and dry we were last year.
Right.
And those little things, like the sparklers that burn at 2,000 degrees, create a very high fire danger when they're in the hands of adults or children.
Yeah.
Because children can be scared quickly and drop them.
Drop it, right, or throw it.
But an adult can be sometimes irresponsible with them. And,
yeah.
You know, and just bad things can happen with good, not necessarily with bad intentions, But bad things can happen. Those accidents happen, and they can have devastating consequences. So it's better for us as a community to make sure that we just outlaw all fireworks in Colorado Springs. The residents that you see that are setting off fireworks, they're doing so illegally if they're in the city limits.
And Chief, I want to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are talking about the weather. We've had some high moisture days, but I want to kind of focus on how quickly that changes here.
Oh, so you bet. Yeah.
We'll talk about that. We've got more with Colorado Springs Fire Chief Ted Colas next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we're talking with Colorado Springs Fire Chief Ted Colas. And Chief, before the break, we were kind of talking about the fireworks. And okay, it was maybe some folks were like, it's been raining here. And you know what? I'm one of those people. Chief, will never complain about rain.
I won't either. Not in Colorado Springs.
Never.
I take a different approach to it than most people do. You know, summer is all about sunshine.
Right.
But in my world, having those cloudy afternoons where we drop some moisture on the ground, that makes a world of difference to us in the profession that we're in. And being in Colorado Springs, where we all know the climate is so dry, it only takes a couple of days of dry weather, and
right.
we can go from low fire danger to high fire danger. In fact, in the last couple of weeks, we've had a high fire danger day.
But you wouldn't have known it.
You people
right.
don't expect that because
right.
it seems to rain every afternoon someplace in Colorado Springs. And that's good. That's the weather pattern that I remember back 30 years ago.
Right, when it rained every afternoon.
It seemed to rain every
yeah.
afternoon. And that's good for us. It keeps us moist. It keeps us safer. But please don't let your guard down because a couple of hot, dry days. And you talked earlier about the wind. Hot, dry days with some wind and those light vegetation, all of the grasses that are springing up because of this moisture, we call those one-hour fuels or flashy fuels. And all it takes is a carelessly discarded cigarette butt, and those one-hour fuels are off to the races. So please be careful out there. Those grasses are growing now because of the moisture. Few days of hot, dry weather, and they're going to dry out.
Well, and I know there's signs. I think at all the fire stations across the city, folks can check. You guys adjust those on where the fire danger is that day. And you might be thinking, oh, it's fine. But all of a sudden, you see the fire high mm-hmm. on the sign. So just
yeah.
watch. And I'm sure it's on the CSFD website,
It's on our website. And we change those signs in front of every one of our neighborhood fire stations every single day to correspond with the weather adjective that day. And that weather adjective is it's derived by science. It's not like we look outside and we say, hey, it's cloudy, let's call it moderate.
Putting your finger up and going, what's it doing today?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm. So just be aware. And again, just
because we've
had a lot of moisture doesn't mean...
No, it does. It doesn't. It means something in the moment, mm-hmm. of course, you know, when it's wet outside, but we dry out so quickly here. Just don't forget that. And you know, that brings up this, I brought you a bumper sticker today.
I know. And actually, I'm very excited about this campaign. And we've kind of touched on it. We didn't talk about it publicly, Chief, but this is something that CSFD has been working on for quite a while. And it's a very important message to everybody.
It is. It came to us from a young lady named Maddie Olson.
Yeah.
And Maddie's stepdad actually sent me an email and said that Maddie'd come up with this idea called Keep Your Butts in the Car.
Yeah.
Now, we love the idea. And she came up with it last year when it was so dry out, and we wanted to capitalize on it right
yeah.
away. But of course, we wanted to make sure that there wasn't copyright infringement and
right.
all of those kinds of things. So our PIO, Captain Brian Vaughn, he's been working overtime to make sure everything was clear. And he came up with these great bumper stickers.
They're
that
fantastic.
Say, keep your butt in the car.
Keep your butt in the car. And of course, it has a cigarette butt with the CSFD logo on there. And really, how many, let's think about... And you can correct me, Chief, if I'm wrong, but I think how many fires started from possibly discarded cigarette butts. I think the one down near Fountain, right, a couple of years ago, last year, may have been from a discarded cigarette butt.
I think that was the initial thought. It ended up being like a muffler on a car, some kind of a mechanical failure on a
right.
car that was being dragged. But there were over 380 acres in Colorado Springs last year that were caused 380 acres of fire that were caused by carelessly discarded smoking materials, cigarette butts, matches, things like that, that people carelessly throw out of their vehicles. That happens every day in Colorado Springs. We get reports of that. People saying, what do I do? How do I stop that? It starts with the individual. I understand that modern cars are not built with ashtrays the way
yeah.
that they used to be.
Right.
But all it takes is a soda can.
A soda can or a soda bottle with water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And put that in your cup holder and drop your cigarette butt in there and then discard that properly at the end of the day. And everybody is safe and you're not putting your community at risk, because that's really what you're doing when you flick a cigarette butt out of a car. You're putting your neighbors and your community at risk.
Now, I know, Chief, when people, when you launched this campaign, I'm sure it was a big question. And of course, I'm sure folks can get their own bumper sticker, right?
They can. They can come to any fire station. We drop some off at the city administration building, at the police operations center, and with the sheriff's office, you know, because we did on our own Springs TV, mm-hmm. our own internal station, we did a public service announcement with the police chief, Vince Niskey, and
yeah.
Sheriff Bill Elder, because this is really a public safety campaign. It's
right.
more than just the fire department. When people are injured because of wildfire, that takes into account all public safety agencies.
And I'm sure the question has come up, but is this reportable? So if somebody sees somebody tossing a cigarette butt out a window, is that reportable?
You know, it is reportable. It's littering. And, you know, I'm speaking now for Chief Niskey. It's kind of a little out of my wheelhouse. But I know that our police department is running pretty thin. And that's a low-level kind of a report,
yeah.
is a littering report. We don't want to see those littering reports turn into an arson report, right?
Yeah.
So it's much better to, you can report it, but the truth of the matter is that the police department is very busy, and to be able to respond an officer to somebody who threw a cigarette butt out of the car, that's going to be a very low priority for our police department. They've got a lot of other things that they're dealing with. So neighbor to neighbor, person to person, if you know people who smoke, give them the idea of a soda can in their car. You can buy commercial ashtrays that go in your cup holders.
Right.
You could buy them at auto parts stores, things like that. Those work just as well. You can unscrew the cap and empty them out at the end of the day. But help one another. You know, citizens helping citizens and encouraging one another to do the right thing, I really think is the way to go.
Well, and for those, we know what a transient community it can be here with all of our fantastic military folks that come here, but then may have to move someplace else. A lot of folks weren't here during Waldo and Black Forest fires, which were right after each other. And it was so devastating to see that. So when you see somebody toss a cigarette butt out the window, you're like, well, stop, please.
Yeah, exactly. It causes a lot of stress to those of us that experience yeah. those big fire events. But you're right, we do have a lot of transient community because of our military. And that's why shows like this are so important, because we kind of repeat those messages. Every
right.
time I come on, we talk about the importance of staying fire safe in an arid environment like Colorado Springs. That's a message that never gets old. We want to make sure that for the long-term residents, that stays in the top of their minds. And
yeah.
for those that are just moving to Colorado Springs, if they've come from a different kind of climate, that they understand where they've moved to and what the dangers are here.
Usually it's not this green.
Right? It really isn't.
Usually not this green. We're just putting that out there. Okay, Chief, got to take a quick news break, and we will have more with Colorado Springs Fire Chief Ted Colas next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, talking with Colorado Springs Fire Chief Ted Colas. And Chief, we were kind of talking about this before we came on the show this morning, and the water levels in and around our area, unbelievable right now, all the water runoff. It's not slowing down from what I can tell. I'm sure it might be a little bit, but the runoff from all the snow. But that means your crews have to go do some more swift water training, don't they, and get ready.
We do, and actually we've had to suspend some swift water training for specific days because the water runoff's so high. Our firefighters got to be prepared and ready to go into any situation, but we also need to be very thoughtful about our training and not put them at undue risk. And the rivers are running very, very fast this time of year. There's been so much snow melt. All good news, right? Colorado Springs mm-hmm. or the state of Colorado had great snowpack last year, but that complicates things with the runoff in the spring and the early summer. And we've seen, unfortunately, across our state, several accidents that have resulted in fatalities because of people getting either turned over in rafts or just getting too close and accidentally falling into
in.
The river.
Yeah, which is really scary. And not only are we dealing with all that runoff from the high country, but even here in the Springs, like we've been talking about, all the moisture. We've been seeing a lot of flash flooding, too, haven't we, in the area, which has led fire crews to have to go rescue people from their vehicles.
It is. You know, we say it every year that don't drive into standing water. You
can't
know,
repeat it enough.
Yeah, you don't know how deep it is, and you don't know if it's going to start moving. You don't know if there's what's going to happen. It's an unpredictable situation. I would rather be late to an appointment or late to getting home in the evening rather than put myself or my family at risk by entering an unknown situation like running water or even standing water and having to be rescued by our firefighters.
Well, and sadly, we've had, I know, firefighters have had to, like, in the ravine areas and the waterways, that flash flooding. I'm sure you guys have had to, you know, even talk to school students about this. Like, please don't go playing in those areas. Because I think it was last year, Chief, and you can correct me, I think there was some kids stuck. And, I mean, literally, CSFD crews had to stage different areas to try and catch these kids because of a flash flood.
Right. We stage downstream because we don't know how fast that water is going to move them. There's so many snags and things in those ditches and in those waterways, trees and shopping carts, all kinds of things that can hang people up or hang any kind of debris up. And all of that becomes a danger to anybody that enters those waterways. Colorado Springs is a big city. We're 197 square miles. So you might be on the south end of town and it might be raining up north and you're completely unaware of it.
Yeah, no clue.
But you're in the south end of town and the situation for you and the conditions can change in an instant. Because of a flash flood coming down a waterway.
So how many crews, because I think each station is kind of dedicated to, correct me if I'm wrong, Chief, but like I'm just making stuff up. So okay. Is 9 like heavy rescue and 4 is wildland? I'm just making stuff up.
You got half of that right.
Really? Oh my gosh. Okay, because I'm just randomly. So is there like a specific station that's dedicated to like swift water rescues?
There is and there isn't. Now, all of our firefighters are trained to an awareness level with swift water rescue. We have an operations level that our truck companies, that's 7 different locations across the city, 6 different locations across the city are trained to that operations level. The 7th location is our heavy rescue company, and they're trained to a technician level. They have more equipment.
So that's the highest level, more equipment,
right.
More, okay.
They're the people that are going to enter that swift water to perform those rescues. We try to keep everybody else away from the water, out of the water, but still they're trained on how to, they're trained with throw bags, they're trained with different equipment that can help us to perform rescues, but that's kind of how it is in the fire service. We train to different levels based on what risk we're willing to put those firefighters at.
That's interesting. So, I'm sure you can't guesstimate, but this year I think there's already been some rescues.
There have been rescues, and our teams are very good at what they do. But you know, every time that we talk about a rescue, whether it's a high angle rescue, swift water rescue, anything like that, we do that because there are citizens whose lives are at risk. But what can't go unstated is that that puts our firefighters' lives at risk to be entering that same same condition, same situation. Now, albeit with better equipment and with a higher level of training, but we would rather not do that because we don't want to put anybody's life at risk.
Right.
So if our citizens are safe and they stay out of those waterways, even when they're dry and they look placid, it can change in a heartbeat and not in your area. Like I said, with 200 square miles, and we know how those weather patterns kind of go along the Palmer Divide, and it can be storming in Briargate, but dry down in the south end of town, and that water will find its way to that south end of town. It's going to go downhill.
And very quickly. Yeah. Well, hopefully you guys can get back to that training soon with the water levels.
Oh, we do. Every chance that we get, we're out there. Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And speaking of training, there is an exciting start coming. It is the next Fire Academy, right?
That is very exciting. On July 29th, we're going to be hiring 21 new firefighters to enter our training academy. And it's part of our plan and supported by our city administration and the mayor to add some new firefighters. Mm-hmm. We added eight additional firefighters earlier this year with our first training academy. The second training academy is for attrition that we experienced throughout the first part of the year and that we anticipate through the next half of the year, and hopefully by this academy will graduate in the fourth quarter in November. We're going to be really at full strength
finally getting up to those numbers.
First year. Yeah, and then the mayor has been very good about supporting public safety, both on the police department side and the fire department side. So we're looking at additional hires next year and in 2021 to get us to the strength that we need to be at.
So this academy is just starting on the 29th. That's when this new academy is starting.
That's correct.
And the process takes
17 weeks.
17 weeks.
Yes.
And then once you graduate...
Once they graduate, they'll be fourth-class firefighters.
Okay.
And they go into our neighborhood fire stations, and they're on probation for a year. And really, the training doesn't stop. That first year of their probationary year is nonstop training. And at about the five-month mark, they take another national certification test for Firefighter 2. So they graduate with Firefighter 1, but the training is ongoing for that first full year.
And it's just so folks, if they're listening, going, you know what, I've always wanted to be a firefighter, the thought process is not, no, I can be in the July 29th class. That's no, that you have to go and apply for the next.
That's true. It takes a while. But we want to encourage everybody out there. It's a great profession. It is wonderful to be able to look at yourself in the mirror every morning and know that you've done something to help your community. And that's what public safety is all about. So we would love to encourage anyone who is interested in the fire service to visit our website. Okay. And we've got a recruiter out there who's very active, and he will get you all of the information that you need. And you can get a hold of our recruiter if you just call our main number, 385. I'm sorry, let's start off with the area code, 719. 719-385-5950, and ask for the recruiter's office. And if he's not available, leave a message and he'll get back to you, and we'll make sure you have all of the information that you need. But it is a lengthy process.
Yeah.
But it's a lengthy process for the right reasons. We want to hire the right people that will be part of this community for a 25, 30-year career.
Right, which is fantastic. Okay, we have to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're all going to talk about mitigation. Also, we're going to talk about motorcycle safety. We got that and a lot more with Colorado Springs Fire Chief Ted Colas next on The Extra. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. I have just a few minutes left with Colorado Springs Fire Chief Ted Colas. Of course, Chief, we could probably keep talking for hours. Mm-hmm. I need to start doing like an after, like show. You know
what
I mean?
The extra after.
Yeah. The extra after. The extra. But there's something that is happening that is kind of concerning to you, and we're seeing it in our community and surrounding area. It seems like there's kind of and in fact, I think the Department of Transportation and State Patrol even addressing it, because we're seeing an increase, as your crews are responding to, an increase in motorcycle deaths.
Yeah, it's so sad. And I'm not out there on the street with our crews anymore. I get my news a lot of times through the grapevine, through our organization, but a lot of times through organizations like KRDO. Mm-hmm. And it's just, there's been an uptick in motorcycle fatalities in our community lately. And, you know, I'm not here to cast blame. I'm not here to say the reasons why or the reasons why not. But what I'm asking our community to do is be safe. Be safe if you're a motorist in a car.
Right.
Be aware of your situation. Look around for motorcyclists. You know, we don't see them throughout the winter months. They're not on the road very frequently, and we can become complacent. And then when the sun comes out and it warms up, they come out onto the road again. And maybe our motorists aren't used to seeing them. And then the motorcyclists themselves. The truth of the matter is that a motorcycle accident is very unforgiving. An automobile accident, there is...
some kind of protection.
There's some kind of protection there, and it's more forgiving, but... motorcycle accidents are very unforgiving. And, you know, I'm speaking to some of our Colorado Springs residents who have experienced this and know the pain of losing somebody in a motorcycle accident. It changes the course of a family's life in an instant.
Right.
So be careful out there. We don't want to see any of our community at greater risk. And take every precaution possible when you're on a motorcycle, because it is a dangerous mode of transportation in comparison to being inside of a vehicle.
And everybody has to be responsible.
Everybody does. Yeah. Whether you're driving a car or you're driving the motorcycle itself, be responsible. Be careful. Think about your fellow motorist on the road. And it's, you're never alone out there.
Yeah.
There's always somebody else around the next corner.
Absolutely. And before we have to wrap up this morning, I do want to focus on this. We always talk about this because it's very important. It's mitigation, but there's also maybe some confusion that's happening with mitigation, fire mitigation. And again, it's beautiful. It's green right now, but doesn't mean that can't change soon.
Right. And we encourage all of our folks who live in that wildland urban interface to mitigate their property. And that means that they clean up the vegetation, the understory of vegetation, so that we speak in terms of breaking up ladder fuels. And if you think of climbing a ladder, it's one rung at a time, one rung after the next. So sometimes a fire might start in the grasses, and they'll go up to the scrub brush, and from the scrub oak they'll go into the tree canopy. That's that ladder that we're talking about.
And then that can crawl over, and
then that is kind of off to the races. So we encourage our folks to contact us. We want to help. We can come out and we can assess individual properties and tell homeowners what they need to do to make their properties more fire safe. And then we share the responsibility with those homeowners. You know, if they do part of the work, we will try to get matching grant money to help them with part of the work. There's no guarantees, and it depends on what part of town that you're in. But let us help you answer those questions if you've got questions. Call that same number, 719-385-5950, and tell them you've got questions about fire mitigation in and around your home, and we'll get you connected with the right folks.
But it sounds like a CSFD, of course, after that last big storm with all the trees were down and everything like that, it sounds like CSFD kind of went out to help, though, with that cleanup. And is that kind of confusing some folks, possibly?
Well, it might be. And we did go out to help out. Yeah. We did. Certainly, we had so many trees that were in the roadways and things like that. The city forestry crew was really beyond their capacity. So anything that we could do to help out and restore the transportation in our community, we did. Some of the confusion lies with people who are maybe new to the area, or they have mitigated in the past, and we do these neighborhood mitigation programs where we'll come by and pick up the debris and we'll chip it and haul it off.
Okay.
Well, those are scheduled. We do one neighborhood at a time, and we process through different areas of town.
Right.
So somebody in another area of town might chip up or clean up their property and then expect us to come over and to chip that and to haul it away for them,
but they're not
in the area of town that we're currently processing. So we have to explain that to them. And sometimes those residents are they're a little confused by that, and they're a little upset about that. They think that we're going to go to every individual resident and clean that up. And we just don't have the capacity to do that. We'll do the very best that we can, and we'll try to solve that problem in the best way that we can, the best manner that we can. But please understand that we've got limited crews, and those crews go from neighborhood to neighborhood.
Right, because it's a coordinated effort.
It's a coordinated effort.
So say, like right now, and I'm just picking an area, Southwest Colorado Springs in the Skyway area. I'm just randomly.
Correct.
That's that focused area at
that
time.
So if we're in that focused area,
right,
and somebody calls from the Peregrine area saying that they've chipped up their stuff, well, we can't send a crew all the way to the Peregrine area for one individual home. So we try to explain that to folks, and most of our citizens are very understanding, and they accept that. They understand the limitations, but we'll try to help them too. We'll try to get them involved or get them in contact with contractors that can come out and help them haul that off, or give them suggestions on how they can do it themselves.
And Chief, I'm sure all of this information, of course, on the CSFD website.
We've got a lot of information out on the website, and our folks are there to help in any way that we can.
Perfect. Chief Colas, it's always great seeing you. Thanks so much for coming in.
You are welcome, Renee. Stay safe.
Absolutely.
And I look forward to the next time.
And remember, keep your butt in your car.
Keep your butt in the car.
I'm holding up the bumper sticker. Y'all can't see it, but go get your bumper sticker.
Yep, get your bumper sticker and remember to keep your butt in the car.
Perfect. Chief Colas, thank you so much. And coming up tomorrow on The Extra, we're continuing our series with the Pikes Peak Workforce Center. Tomorrow, we're talking about from job loss to job search. Great conversation tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.